This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
President Trump's inauguration has left many groups unsettled and unsure of what's going to happen next. Chuck Spencer of Growmark says the one thing that's good about change is that there's room for input. I visited with Chuck on Friday, and we discussed what the change means for agriculture, what farmers should be thinking about, and we also addressed the recent ruling for the Des Moines Waterworks lawsuit.
Believe it or not, 7 days into a new administration, and I say it in those terms because I think, Katie, you and I know, when you're keeping up with current activities and the domination of the discussion over this new administration that's come in, it's been very well covered in news channels and a lot of conversation circles on a regular basis. And so you get to realizing, wait a second, it was just January 20th when we actually had the formal inauguration. But we've seen a number of actions already. There's been executive actions. There's been actions taken on regulations. And that part there has been a little bit of a relief to the business community. And I include agriculture in the overarching business community format because I think business understands that regulation is necessary to set the ground rules for something that is consistent, certainly transparent, and predictable as far as a format to conduct business. What we do get concerned about is when regulations are developed without the input of the community that it's going to be regulating. And we did see some of that in the last administration. And I hope we'll be able to set the course, I think, in a more constructive fashion and still provide the assurances that consumers, that residents want across this country, that they can be assured that business is being overseen, we're conducting ourselves properly, and that we certainly have a focus on environment and doing what's right for communities.
Well, there's certainly a lot lying on the road ahead, but one thing that you mentioned to me is that the good thing that's happening is that there are conversations being had, and we're talking about some things that are important to agriculture.
Yes, we are. Those conversations in regard to what works as far as a regulatory format. There were some rules that affected all kinds of business, including agriculture, not-for-profits, that had to do with overtime rules. That, of course, has been put on hold. The waters of the United States, think how many interviews you did where people were bringing up the concern of waters of the United States. And that was a regulatory proposal where the Environmental Protection Agency was going to have greatly advanced authorities that concerned a number of landowners across the country, and that issue actually made it into a presidential discussion. So I don't think we're going to see the advancement of that rule, and it would be very likely that that gets rescinded in a number of fashions. So those are going to be aspects that we see that are very helpful. But certainly conversations are turning toward transportation infrastructure, tax policy, and certainly water quality programs.
Well, that is good news for agriculture, and as I said, it will be interesting to see what else happens throughout the course of President Trump serving his term in office. We'll be waiting to see, I guess, is the best way to put it. As far as regulations in agriculture, you know, you just mentioned the waters of the U.S. rule, that probably not being passed. Is there anything else right now that farmers should be aware of, or I guess if I would say worried about or concerned with, or are we kind of just in we're watching and waiting and listening point right now?
Well, I think that we have a tremendous opportunity at this point in time, because whenever there's change, there's always opportunity for input. I noticed that when I went to Washington, D.C., and had visits with the staff and members in Congress, that regardless of their party, they were really listening to what the voters were saying. And that didn't fade. What we're seeing continued is that our elected representatives recognize that the voters are interested in voicing themselves. And you're seeing this in a number of fashions. And I think agriculture has to be equally motivated and continue to engage their member of Congress, their U.S. senator, and talk to them about their priorities. New 1,200-foot locks. Yes, we've been talking about that for 30 years, but we may have an opportunity if we're going to pass a broad-based, comprehensive infrastructure program for this country. You got road, river, rails, and runway. and we'll probably need infrastructure improvements on all of them. Just on a conference call this morning, in fact, talking about how lock and its, their construction were in some of the early proposals of what an infrastructure plan would contain. To keep them in there, we're going to have to voice our interests. Tax reform, agriculture, and the way family businesses are formed and small businesses are formed, you know, the tax code is very complex right now. If we go through a tax code simplification, we may lose some tax credits or deductions that we found were very favorable for our perspective in business. How do we address that? Are there ways to offset that? Or can we come up with a new proposal or understand the impact of what that would be to where it averages out and yet all of the country benefits through economic growth and still have revenue that's generated for our country to fund many of the programs that I just talked about? That is going to take individual input, extremely important, and something that we must continue. And then certainly I think we have to be focused on providing our actions in the form of messages and openness with residents of watersheds, communities, farmer to farmer, talking about the advancements we're making within nutrient management, our distinct focus on how we're managing our nitrogen and phosphorus. And believe me, Katie, as you know, in the price for what the commodity prices are today, agriculturalists are making their plans, their seed selections in many cases have likely already determined, their rotation plans already being set. Then the question comes, how much do I spend on fertilizer and then fungicides and other things to keep our plants healthy? Those are very critical decisions that we need to make, and the management of what's best and how quick that plant takes them up and how they're used most efficiently, that's what we're doing right now as an agriculture community. And I think we take that for granted. We need to constantly continue to remind others of how engaged we are with our watersheds.
Well, and all of that you just mentioned falls right in line with the 4R approach that I know GrowMark and your cooperatives have been implementing with their customers.
Absolutely. The 4R for You program, we've even taken it another step where we're working cooperatively with Illinois Farm Bureau. We've got 12 different watersheds, about 14 county farm bureaus across the state, and 11 member companies and FS members. We're putting those demonstration plots together, not only in Illinois, where we're then, you know, showing farmer to farmer some of the very basic elements of good stewardship, nitrogen management, but then how that turns into profitability and productivity farm by farm. You're right, we also do the InWatch plot, and we've expanded this, of course, to the footprint that we have in different states. And we're working with farm bureaus there, as well as watershed interest groups as far out as Pennsylvania and the East Coast, where we're demonstrating these types of opportunities and techniques as well. And our whole point is to educate lawmakers, regulators, but most importantly, advance the opportunities for the farmer customers where they're able to be more profitable as well as more efficient with their use of inputs.
Keeping it along the subject of nutrient runoff and talking about water, before we started this interview, you had mentioned to me some news has been released today, which is we're talking on Friday, about the Des Moines Water Works lawsuit.
Yes, Des Moines Water Works lawsuit was being watched from a national perspective. And why? You may recall, the city of Des Moines has a water works entity that provides water to its population base out there in the city of Des Moines and the surrounding suburbs. They had filed a lawsuit claiming that three counties and the drainage districts within three counties and the northern part of the watershed, Raccoon River, where they get most of their drinking water source, had provided increased and elevated levels of nutrients, and that was damaging to the Des Moines Water Works operations, that when they had to run their nitrate extraction facility, that cost was an undue burden on the citizens, and that pollution, they felt, and they called it pollution, should not exist in the river. Now, there were four questions that just went to to the Iowa Supreme Court last year. And during this time period, we've been in this lull where the Supreme Court was developing their decision, and it was just announced this morning that the Des Moines Water Works cannot win damages from the drainage districts. Now, there were four questions. There were three others. But the focal point from a lot of people was, what is this going to mean if entities can sue agriculture, which traditionally has not been held within the realm of these types of damage lawsuits? What is this going to mean for drainage districts? What does this mean for farming? What does this mean on so many levels? And I think, Katie, what's important is that there's natural cycles for nitrogen and phosphorus. Certainly, agriculture has a role to play within every watershed, and we've got to be accountable, and I've stated to you how we're taking that very seriously. But I think agriculture and a number of entities that are landowner-based are very relieved that this lawsuit has taken at least the initial steps within these four questions at the Iowa Supreme Court level that the drainage districts are not going to be held responsible for payments. And I think that is something that is very encouraging for agriculture, and it's very much within what many expected or should have felt the ruling was going to be, and it's been confirmed early this morning. So that's at least one hurdle that has been cleared. Doesn't mean the lawsuit goes away, but now there's a decision that the Des Moines Water Works is going to make, and certainly they're likely going to be focused on how they're going to operate their utility the most efficiently. So we're going to see what happens from here forward, but at least a good first step.
Director of Corporate and Government Relations for GrowMark, Chuck Spencer. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.